desire your prayers again tonight. I'm still thinking about the battle that we face, the battle that we want to win. I want to end up being able to see the end of a Christian race. I want to know and experience what God has for me. I want to be able to hear the Lord say, "Well done," at the end of this race. But there is a battle. The devil's doing everything he can to hinder you and I from making heaven. When armies face off against each other, there is objectives that they have. One of the primary objectives that they look at is to disrupt communications, because it's impossible for individuals to know what's going on. Armies are made up of a lot of people, and it's impossible for each individual to have the understanding of the whole. They know what their part is, perhaps. One guy may, his part may be just putting the bullets in. He might just be the guy that puts the shells in the artillery, or he may be the guy that aims it. But he doesn't have much more sense of the battle than that. But there is somebody that sees the whole field. He knows the whole battle. Sees the weak spots, the places. He knows the enemy's disposition, or his position, his place. He sees the whole field. He knows where it's all at. And if the enemy can come in and disrupt the communications, then it is almost impossible for the army to fight efficiently, because every member is dependent upon the other member. For instance, there has been times that there would be something go wrong with the communication systems, and armies would kill their own men. There's been times that miscommunications happened, and the Air Force comes in and drops bombs in the wrong places, and it's called friendly fire. And friendly fire happens, and people die because the communications was bad. Other times, the people run in, and the timing was wrong in the communications, and so somebody said charge, and they charged, and they forgot that they didn't. They told their guys back at the artillery to quit shooting. And they kept a shooting and they kept a charging, and the guys shoot their own people after a while. And that's what happens in war when the communications is bad. Well, the enemy knows this about us too. Yes. The devil's going to try to disrupt our communications, because we have to have a communications. Folks, if we lose our communication system with the Lord, we're going to find the devil's going to take advantage of us. We're going to become a captive of him at his will. If we aren't hooked to the Lord, I'll say more than that, I believe, that our unity together is not so much about how much we get or how well we cohabitate or look or what we feel about one another, but our relationship with one another is dependent more on our individual communications with the Lord than it is any of these other factors. If I have a relationship with the Lord and I got communications clear before the Lord, and you do, I believe we'll mesh together, we'll flow together. I believe we'll be able to work together with one another if we have the same one telling us what to do as we go along. When the Lord says fire, we fire. And when he says to run, we run. And when the Lord says to do, we do. If the Lord calls us to pray, we pray. And that's the way we work together efficiently, rather than trying to get together and say, "Well, I like this group a little bit better than I like that group, so I'm going to settle in this group a little bit here." We'll do a lot better if we'll keep our communications open before the Lord. Now, the devil's got a lot to try to throw at this. He wants to break the communications that we have. There's two-way communications. I got to communicate with the Lord, and the Lord communicates back with me. And the devil's got a lot to say about that. He's got a lot to come in with that. One of the things that the devil likes to do is to make us busy. Too busy to pray. Well, Brother Salmons used to say, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. Well, but where do we stop and say, I'm too busy? And how much of a prayer life do I have to have? Now I lay me down to sleep. That covered me for tonight. And I'll wait till the morning to see what else. But we can be so busy with life. The devil's going to make sure there's a lot happening in life, going on in life. It's up to us to take a stand and say, I'm not going to be too busy. Do you know we are supposed to be masters of our time? It's a precious gift that the Lord give us. But I've got time that's mine. It's my time. What I do with it is a lot up to me. Do you know that it is absolutely possible to say when it comes to time to go to service or time to go to prayer, it is possible for you to say right in the middle of a sentence, if you need to. You could be telling somebody a story and I went to town and to be continued later. It's time to go to church. Well, I can't quit in the middle. Sometimes my wife will say to the children, time to get ready for bed. But Mom, we're right in the middle of the game. Can we finish the game? Well, a lot of times you'll say, well, how long will it? Well, it'll be no. The answer is no. You've run out of time. You can't finish it now. Now you got to go on to something else. But you know we're masters of our time, or we should be masters of our time. But we don't look at it maybe that there is a diabolical, and I don't think the devil's behind every tree and in everything. But I'm going to say this, if he can get your time, he will. And if he can stop you from being in contact with God, he will. And if he can get your life too busy to contact God, he will. If he can break the communications in this battle that we're in, he will defeat us. Because you and I don't have the ability to run this war by ourselves. I don't see enough of it to be able to do it at all. I don't know where the enemy's at. Do you? And say, well, where is it? God knows where he's at. And he wants to be our master. And he wants us to communicate. The devil wants to end our part of it in prayer by making us too busy, but involving ourselves in so many those kind of things, the devil's going to try to do that, to break our communications. And our communications, folks, is our lifeline. It is everything. I'm reminded of this story. It was very impressive to me. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know the accuracy of this story. I couldn't know it. But I read it as a truth in a story somewhere. That there was a group of people in Chicago that got together and said, we're going to work for the Lord. And they all got together and got themselves pumped up good, and we're going to work for the Lord, and we're going to go hit the streets. And so they got their stuff together and got there, and it was mainly run or led by the pastor's wife that was really getting them going, and they got the congregation going, and they started going. And they did it a day, and then another day, and another day, and they just wasn't getting any results. But they kept trying and kept trying, and they didn't get any results. Till finally the lady says, you all go on this day. Today, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God about this. And so this lady was praying, and as she was praying, she had a vision in her prayer. And the vision was of this certain apartment type building, and it had a stairs go up in a certain way and all. And she saw on it the name of the street and the apartment number. She saw in a vision. Well, it was a shocking thing to her. And so she got up from prayer and went to her husband, was a pastor, was there at the church, and went to him and said, I think it was like Lincoln Street or something like that in Chicago. And she says, is there even a street like named that here? And said, well, I never heard of it. They got on a map and they found that street. And she told him, and so they said, well, let's go. So she took off and they went on this trip and finding this street. They found this street and they was driving along and she stopped. That's it. That is it right there. She got out and went up there and went to the door and knocked on the door. She didn't hear anything. She knocked again. And then she heard a faint cry in there. And they ended up getting in there. And there was an old lady in there that had fallen 3 days before. and was desperate. She couldn't get to the phone. And she was desperate and she was praying that the Lord would send her somebody. She's a Christian lady. And she was praying that the Lord would send her somebody. Now you can gainsay stories like that, and I can't verify that. It wasn't there. But I can believe it. I can believe it with all the desires and actions that we want to do to fight this army. If we're not in contact with the one that sees everything, we'll misfire. We need to have our communications clear. And there was an instance of a woman that was praying for help from the Lord, and there was a woman so ready to help, and how are they going to connect? Well, there's one that knows the battle altogether. And they reunited. I imagine there was quite a bond there between those two after that. I imagine it would be something that would be special and for one. But we need the contact with the Lord. But the devil's going to try to disrupt that. Yeah. Over in the book of Mark, 11th chapter of Mark, in the 27th verse he says, "And they came again to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, there came to him the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and saying to him, By what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things?" Now, you know, if a group of men would come up to me and ask me questions, I may or may not have a discernment about them. I may have an opinion about what they're doing or all that kind of thing. And I may not know. This doesn't say that it was in any way belligerent about it. They wanted to ask a question. But they asked a question. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus saw more than just this question. Jesus knew the attitude of these men's heart. God knew the honesty of their heart. And it is very important that we approach God with an honest heart. To ask him anything, to come before the Lord with anything, to keep these communications clear, folks, we're going to need an honest heart to keep them clear. These men weren't of an honest heart. I think they was there for getting to Jesus to say, "I'm the Son of God." Something like that would have been blasphemy to them, and they'd had a real reason to come against him. So they come and was trying to say something here. What authority do you do it? How do you get this authority? And all these kind of things. It doesn't say that, but that's kind of what they was doing. And so Jesus then says to them, Jesus answered, said unto them, "I will also ask of you one question, and answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it of heaven or of men? Answer me." Pretty simple question. Yeah, he was. No, he wasn't. Yeah, he was because. No, he wasn't because. These are intelligent men. They're intelligent, but they're not honest. You know, dishonesty is going to break the communications between us and the Lord. The Lord wants to reveal to us truth, doesn't he? Isn't he willing to show us the things that pertain to our lives? Isn't he willing to help us in these kind of things and give us understandings about things? I believe that he is. But I believe if we have a dishonest motive about it, we're not going to get the answer. We're not going to get a true answer. These men didn't get the answer. Jesus asked them a question. And he put it to them too. And he also told them, "I will tell you what authority I get this by if you'll tell me the answer to this question." I think Jesus had something already for them. I'm going to tell you the truth about this. And here's how their mind worked. "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, well, was he from heaven or not? Not about what we'll say. Was he from heaven or was he from..." No, if we say this, then I know what's going to come. He's going to end up saying, "Well, then why ain't you listening to him?" And do you know what he said? He said, "I was coming. And you know who I am? I'm the Son of God. And you just said you believed it because that's what John was doing." No, we can't say that then. He will say, "Why did ye not believe him? Believe him. But if we say of men, they feared the people, for all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed.
And they answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. And Jesus answering saith unto them. Now, what is to think about this? How widespread this answer might be. He says to them, then neither will I tell you. Neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. In other words, you'll never know. Is there any other place to get the answers? Where are you going to get the answers at? Where are we going to find out where truth lies in 2015? Are we going to make it up? Are we going to conclude it by ourselves? Are we going to stand on past? What are we going to do with new inventions, new things, new ideas, new ways? All these things come. What are we going to do? What if the Lord decides to say to us, neither do I tell you? What if He decides to say, you're not honest enough to handle it? You're not walking in the right way with it. Then neither do I tell you. I wonder why there is so many religions, so many ideas, so many truths out in the world. Could it be that the Lord said, neither do I tell you? I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to reveal it to you. If the Lord don't reveal us more than doctrinal points, what if He don't reveal me to me? What if the Lord decides to say, you're not honest enough. You're not going to deal with it right. You're not honest. You don't want to know. And so I'm not going to tell you how you are. You know, I find people are really easily self-deceived. Happens all the time. Self-deception is very easy. I can feel like I'm something I'm totally not. I can feel like I'm okay because it's me. I can look at everything through a different things. When I say something, it's not nearly like somebody, because I know what I meant more than what somebody else says. But when I see somebody else act like that, oh, that's ugly. But not when I do it. If the Lord don't reveal us to us, can we see ourselves? Lord, help us. You know, there needs to be a communication. These men wasn't interested in bettering their lives before the Lord. These men wasn't worried about getting to heaven. You know, there was one that come to Jesus, and you can look at it. It's very famous. It's where Jesus, one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, for God so loved the world. You know who He said that to? He said that to a man that was struggling inside, I believe. A man named Nicodemus. John 3, you can go read it. It was a man named Nicodemus. And he was a ruler, and he was one of these guys. But he had something going on in him. You can see that he did. He wanted to go and ask the Lord. He went to the Lord. And no matter what these men said to try to twist the truth, Nicodemus knew there was something about this man called Jesus. There's something working in his heart. And he went to him and said, no man can do these miracles unless God be with him. Don't care what everybody else says about you. You've proven yourself here to me. Yes. Struggling inside. How am I going to say this? I know he was struggling because he came at night. He was struggling because he didn't want these guys to see him come there and have to face the peer pressures of coming. So he went in the night so it'd be secretive. You know, men's deeds are wicked. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They don't want to know the truth. I appreciate the story of Nicodemus because he did come. And he got something from the Lord. And he was the one, if you can imagine, such powerful words as being that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, he spoke that to a human being. I think he looked right at him with compassionate eyes and told Nicodemus that. Nicodemus got to hear those words from Jesus' mouth directly. I think it had an effect on him. I think that he had to be honest to make the connection. He had to be honest. We have to be honest with ourselves. We got to connect to God before we can connect to one another. We got to have fellowship with Him before we fellowship with one another. That is the basis of our fellowship. It's what makes the army work. When one gets in trouble over here, the old army prays and the whole movement goes because there's a master that leads it all. And you know, there's been times that the Lord has did things for me, give me things that was totally divine. It wasn't through men's mouth that I heard it, but God give me the inspiration of prayer at things that were happening in His world. There was a very tragic event happened on our street where I live. Several years ago, a man, he was a grandpa when he was raising his 14-year-old grandson. And the day before, the grandson had told the people at school that his grandfather was abusing him. And the school tried to do something, actually got the police to come, and the police went, but the grandfather wouldn't even open the door. They didn't know he was there. He wouldn't open the door or anything. And the grandson ended up going home. And the grandfather had supposedly told him that if you tell, I'm going to kill you. Well, that night, he did. He killed the grandson, and he killed himself. Just two houses down from where we live. That morning, without knowing anything, my wife and I both felt, and you can gainsay these things, but that morning, me and my wife felt something so strong that it put us to prayer. We didn't know what it was. We both felt it and didn't know what it was. And we said, there's something that's not right. Somebody somewhere needs prayer. There's something going on. And we went to prayer that morning. Right after that, I took a walk and I went down and I saw the ribbons around. And sometime after, they had it off and the police was in there and the things going on. And then I understood what the prayer was about and what it was. But God's our commander, see. God can stimulate us to prayer when we don't know what prayer is for. Have you ever been just had a real burden that somebody's in need? I don't know that we ever know even what that was. But God does know what it was. And He can call His army. When we're in communion with Him, when we've got communications going back and forth between Him, we need to stay in communion with God. And the army will flow that way. And I believe we'll be powerful that way when we keep it going that way. But there's no room in there for dishonesty or lack of press to the Lord. Indifference that I've mentioned. My burden been for a long time. Indifference is a sure way of losing communications. Not making it meaningful. It doesn't mean anything. Just a few words here or just saying something is not prayer. Lord, help us to have a passion and a desire. But the Lord said to these men, neither will I tell you. I'm not going to tell you where the authority comes from. So you can't know. They never knew. And if the Lord doesn't reveal those things to us, we'll never know. So we are desperate for the communications. Lord, reveal it through life. Reveal it through dreams. Reveal it through the Word. Reveal it through the messages. Reveal it through the songs. But Lord, help us to keep communications wide open to the Lord. Amen. Another scripture. Oh, this is over in 1 Kings. chapter 22. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servant, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Well, I think that was a good idea Jehoshaphat had. Let's ask the Lord about it. You know, we can get to thinking I should have this or I should have that or this ought to go that way or this just looks practical or common sense that this ought to happen or that ought to happen and all those kind of... Have you ever been wrong? Well, maybe you oughtn't answer that. But I have been wrong. I've had things that I thought was this way. But the Lord didn't see it that way. And they said, well, Jehoshaphat says, well, I'm as you are, and it's a good idea, and it's a good plan, and it surely is ours, and we ought to have it, and I don't know what we're setting around either, and we'll just, that sounds good. But before we just go off, let's ask the Lord about it.
Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. Well, I tell you what, that's pretty impressive. I want to know what the Lord says, so I'll gather him. I'll gather me a bunch of guys together, 400 of them. That ought to be enough to tell us what's what here about it. And said unto them, shall I go up against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Oh, boy, all right. Have you ever been in a place that you just needed something more than what people say? You need more than just what the... You know, I know God impresses people, and I'm thankful for that. And there is a witness to that. And God witnesses with that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Witnesses with the witness, you know? But have you ever just said, this is serious enough, but I want something for myself. I want some communications with you, Lord. You remember the one that said, you're going to have something important here and is going to go to the battle. And he said, Lord, I want you to help me here. And he takes this fleece and he takes it out and he tells the Lord, now, Lord, if it ground's dry and this fleece has got moisture on it, or however it was, whichever way, he said, then I'll know you with me. And the Lord answered, well, it looks like he's ready to go. And then he turns around, I believe that was Gideon, and he says, Lord, have mercy. maybe that wasn't just the right way to do it. And I really need some communication here. So have mercy on my lack of faith or whatever it is, but I'm going to do this again, and this time I'm going to reverse it. Because I really want the communications, Lord. I'm too desperate here to make a mistake. Lord, help me to know which it is what you would have me to do. I'll take it either way. Brother Sammons used to tell us up home good advice. He said, when you want to go, pray till you can stay. And then you can go. And when you want to stay, you pray till you can go. And then you can stay. But you pray till your mind and your will and your heart's given to God, and then you're in a good place to get the communications, to get the will of God. But when you're saying, I'm going to do this, and Lord, I want you to prove it to me, you're not in a good place. When you say, I'm going to marry that girl no matter what you say, but I want you to say yes, you're in a bad place. When you make up your mind about it, we're not about making up your mind. It's about getting the communication and not letting the devil sever the communications that we're so desperate of. Because the devil wants to come in. Do you know the reason people believe a lie? It's because they want to believe a lie. There is no other reason to believe a lie. There is enough evidence of all truth to believe it. People believe a lie because they want to believe a lie. We've got to set our hearts till we don't want to believe a lie. You know, sometimes lie feels pretty good. Sounds pretty good. It might even do me a little benefit in this life at the moment. That's why we want to believe them. But they're never beneficial. Lord, help us to want the truth. So the king of Israel here gets 400 prophets to be convincing. Now see, this was for somebody else. Because Ahab already knew what he was doing. He was trying to prove it to Jehoshaphat. So he calls in 400 prophets now. To prove it to Jehoshaphat. And they all said, what? 400 guys all saying the same thing? How can you argue with such unity? Except for they all knew that what had happened if they didn't. Do you want truth or you want it to make up? Why lie about it? Your life's at jeopardy here. Don't you really want to know what the Lord wants to say? See, the devil wants to cut our communications because God's got our answers for us. And if he can sever that communications, we won't know anything. But here's the story. He says, and Jehoshaphat said, I don't know why that wasn't impressive to him, but we all have something that's working inside us. That wasn't impressive enough for him. Well, can we at least have a debate? I mean, Jehoshaphat may be saying, can we at least discuss it? You guys are all just that much in line. Is there anybody? No, no, it's all together here. Is there anybody? Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides what we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may acquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Quit shooting the messengers. It don't do no good to shoot the messengers. He's not got anything to do with it. Why would you hate a messenger? Why would Ahab hate this guy? Yeah, there's one guy. And we can ask him. But I don't want to ask him. Because I know just as sure as anything what he's going to do. Because he does it every time. He tells the truth. Lord, help us. Are we willing to accept the truth on any line? Are we willing to say, Lord, send it to us the way it is? Are we willing to? Are we willing for the spotlight of heaven to shine on our souls? Are we willing to reveal the ugly attitude, the bitterness, the envies? Are we willing to say to the Lord, I can't see me, you can? Is there not another prophet here? Is there somebody who would tell me the truth? You know, there was a man come to the Lord one time, a young man, and asked the Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord taught him kind of the generic, this is what you ought to know, keep the commandments. Done that? Which ones? These ones? Well, I've done them since my youth. What do I lack? And the scripture says that the Lord loved him. Now, there's a reason it put it in there. It was compelling love. It was a love that was going to tell him the hardest thing he needed to hear. He was going to tell him the thing that was pivotal to his eternal salvation. He wasn't going to hold it back on him. You know, we're blessed when the Lord's willing to tell us what it is we need to do to have salvation. We are so blessed and in such a good place that he loved him because he knew this was where it was all going to be with this young man. But it said he loved him before he told him. He loved him and he told him, go sell all that you have. And we'll tell you, it took some love to do that. It would have been easy to smooth it over and let the man go his way, being deceived about it. But the Lord loved him and gave him the absolute truth. And I believe if we open our hearts, the Lord will give us our truth too. We need the communications between us and the Lord. We need to be able with a full, honest heart to bow ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am, open before you. What communications do you have for me? The old devil trying to blur the lines of the communications. Make there a riffle in there. He'll do it among, the devil does it among couples because he, do you know that the main trouble they say, or experts say, that causes divorce, the number one thing is communication. Not talking, not being able to talk is the number. They say people that can talk together work out their problems, but people that can't don't. I believe it. The old devil will come in, and what he's going to do is he's going to attack the communications. If he can get them, get her too busy, get him too busy, get that going, till the communication's lacking, then there'll be a problem with the relationship. And so it is with the Lord. So is there another prophet? Yeah, there's one. We'll ask him. I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Now, I've said this many times, but and you can do whatever you want to. But I have two atomic clocks at the house. Now, they claim that these atomic clocks are down to a millionth of a second or something, or tighter. And there's a signal that comes from Colorado that bings all over the place. And it resets my clock every little bit. Anything it could be off, it resets it back to that billionth or millionth, whatever it is, of a second. And you know what? I know that my time don't run that close. Can't tell it even happens. I mean, I'll tell it. But I just love knowing that my clock's right. And I love knowing that when it says it's that time, that's what time it is. I like the accuracy of it. And I don't try to fake my mind out by setting it different so I'll be early to church. I just go by what the clock says and go early enough to get there. And I manage my time that way. My scales at the house are terrible. They lie to me. Now, they are. They lie to me because I know they're lying because I can get on them and it'll be a certain weight and I get on them a second later and it'll be 2 pounds different and it'll be down. This is bad scales. I hate bad scales. When I step on the scales, I don't want it to lie to me. Oh, I can fidget with it and make it lie to me and feel good about myself if I can fake my mind out. But listen, I can't do that. I can't fake my mind out. Just as soon as I try it, it'll come back to my mind. You set the scales. Well, no, I want to forget I set the scales so that I can weigh less than I actually weigh and feel better about now I can go eat more or whatever it is. That's delusional. It's delusional. Face the fact when you step on there and deal with it. Deal with it. It don't make much difference in weight, but folks, when it comes to the Word of God and eternal things, you ought to deal with it. Deal with the fact. Here's the fact. This prophet's going to prophesy evil. He took it as evil and not as good. If you was going to go up to a battle, wouldn't you want to know whether the Lord's going to be with you or not? What's evil about that? Well, evil wasn't in the sense of diabolical demon evil. It was in the sense that bad. That's what that word means. It means that he's going to say something's bad against what I want. He always does. Then the story goes on. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." I don't know what that's about altogether. But let not the king say so. Let's go ahead and hear him out. What's it going to hurt? Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, "Hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah." Well, he goes, gets him. You know the story. I won't read all of it, but he gets him and he comes and he starts to prophesy. And he prophesies to him and there's a little back and forth about it. And him telling, he said, "Now you tell me the truth." So I'll tell you the truth. If you go up there to battle, saith the Lord, you're not coming back. And the Lord says that the people of Israel will be like sheep without a shepherd. And they'll be scattered. Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you that this prophet was going to do that? We're going to throw him in jail for it? I'll get him. Throw him in jail. Call him. Take him to a governor. Go throw him in jail. Feed him the water of affliction and the bread of affliction until I get back to deal with him. And the prophet says, "If you come back, the Lord ain't spoken but me." You want to know the truth? You want to know the truth, Ahab? If you go up there, you're not coming back. Don't want to hear it? Lord, help us. Keep our communications clear before the Lord. That would witness. I'm going to tell you, if it had been one guy like that, wouldn't it have at least shook you a little bit? Wouldn't you have at least thought, "Well, you did it, but I'm going to, now you sure have thrown a wrench in this thing, because I ain't going up there until I find out from the Lord for myself. I'm going to need something to stand on to go up there now, because this thing's serious, and I need to know. I need to know about this." Have you ever asked the Lord, "Lord, am I okay?" I think we've all probably asked the Lord, "Lord, am I okay in this? Lord, am I right? Are you pleased with my life? Lord, is this okay? Lord, help us." I want to look at the end. You can read the whole thing. We'll look at towards the end of this. In the 32nd verse, it says, "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, 'Surely it is the king.'" Now, you have to go back and just get the story a little bit. Rahab disguised himself. Ahab disguised himself. And so they wouldn't chase after him, shoot at him, that kind of stuff. He was a king. He was a target. You know, everybody wants to shoot the king. And so they take off and he's out there. And he's not an important. He doesn't seem important now. And he's not somebody who wants to shoot at. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And he says that, "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat, that they said, 'Surely it is the king of Israel.' And they turned aside to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot perceived that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from the pursuing him. And a certain man," just a man, his name will never be known in these passages, just a man, assumingly an important man of battle out there in war, drew a bow at a venture.
You know, I mean, it didn't sound like he took an aim, really.
He's going to shoot at the enemy over there, so he had a venture. Maybe I'll hit something. Maybe I'll hit something out there somewhere, and he fires an arrow into the air. They can go anywhere. It can glance off. It can stick in the ground. It can go anywhere, but he shot an arrow, and it goes flying, and it had a point of destiny. It had a place to land. It was between the chinking. That's tight. This much one way or the other, but it is dead between the chinking of Ahab's armor and sticks him. And so, the prophet was right. If you go up there, you're not coming back. And it was fulfilled, the communications. And I've asked myself many times on this story, if you read the story of Ahab, the chapter before and all, God had mercy on Ahab. He had mercy on Ahab. And here's another time. Now, God had mercy again. Why did God even tell the prophet what to say? Why did he just be silent? You know, God told the prophet what would happen in case Ahab would have wanted that connection, the communications to be open. If he had wanted it, it was available. God had mercy there on him by giving that prophet those words to tell him. If you go up there, you're not coming back. He could have said, then I'm not going up there. I fear God. But he didn't. Because something broke down in the communications between him and God. Because, see, there's two places. There's one, us praying, which is very important. And the other one's us hearing. He that has an ear tonight, let him hear. Let him be willing to understand that if God don't have mercy on you tonight, you will be lost. If God don't reveal the problems and issues of your life to you, you won't know them. You will be self-deceived about yourself and never understand anything about yourself. If you're saved tonight, you're saved tonight because Jesus had mercy on you and revealed Himself to you that you could understand who He was and to be saved. We need the communications. We need to be willing tonight to hear, Lord, what do you have me to do? We ask that question a lot, and the preachers will preach and we'll say those things, and young people will grow up many times and say, what am I supposed to do? Where's my place? What's my calling? What am I supposed to be doing? Well, don't ask me. I don't know. Well, I'll ask my pastor. Do you know pastors can have insight, but most of the time I'll tell you what pastors will tell you. Jesus knows what you're supposed to do. And I can lead you and help you and we can pray together, but God's the one that's going to have your answer and lead you into what you're supposed to be doing. To be willing to hear the voice of the Lord. I've heard the stories of people that said, I didn't want to get too serious about the Lord because I was afraid He'd call me to preach. When the idea ought to be, Lord, to be saved, I'll do anything. I'm willing to do anything. Whatever you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. When I got saved, I told the Lord, I never thought about preaching. Never thought it would ever be a calling of mine. But I told the Lord when I got saved, Lord, if you'll save me, I will do anything you want me to do. And you know, I've made that covenant with the Lord and I still endeavor to keep it. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. We need to keep our ears in the place that we can hear the instruction of the Lord. The whisper of the Lord. You remember the story we read last night of Elijah in that cave, in there depressed, right now, all what was going to happen to him, all those things, seeking the Lord. And then the Lord, there was an earthquake come, and he was listening for the Lord. And it was a great, but he wasn't in that. There was a great wind, but didn't hear the Lord in it. And then there was a still, small voice
if you would, an impression, maybe. Maybe just that slightest impression or thought of the mind. There was the Lord. There's the Lord speaking. I hear. Lord, the communications is open. What would you have your servant to do? Where would you have me? What would you have me to do? Where would you have me to go? We need these kind of places. There is people, I believe, that still can be touched. I believe there's honest souls to be witnessed to. I believe there's honest souls to reach a track to. I believe there's honest souls to contact. But I don't know who they are or where they're at or what their heart's cry is or how deep of problems they're in or what it'll take to get them out. But God knows. And God knows how to lead us to that. One of the things God knows that we don't know about the army is that in every army there's always a weak place. And in the weak places, when they got an army, what they do, they have what they call a reserve. The reserve stays back, the fighting reserve. And they'll have a reserve. And this reserve can move to this place or move to this place. He can move to any place at the direction of the commander. At a moment's notice, they can move to any direction in there to fortify something that's weak. You know, we need the Lord to help us to know what's weak. The individual over here don't even see the attack until it's too late. But the commander sees it all. He's getting information from every place of the field, every place. He gets it all. He's got all the information, and he can simply move into this area. There's times that we need to fortify our weaknesses. We need to say, Lord, I know I'm weak in here. Help me to build a better barrier here. Lord, rush in there where I'm weak at. You know, that's what the Lord does. When we're weak, He's strong. And when we find ourselves unable, sometimes when the Lord's able to do that, He can do that and have more victory in a place we're weak than in a place that we're strong. Because He can fortify that area and give us a victory in there that we ain't never had. And it's amazing and it's glorious and it's God. And we can testify, the Lord did that for me. I've been weak in that area, but the Lord come in and lifted me up in it. And I had a great victory there. And that was the Lord doing that. But we need to keep our communications open before the Lord. I'm going to tell you, all this worldliness out there will dull the communications. One of the things the devil likes to do when it comes to the Lord speaking to us, he likes to make a lot of noise, confusion. Voices. I want to tell you, if you had a gadget tonight that was sitting right here that was able to catch every signal that's out there right now and say every word from every radio, TV station, Wi-Fi, satellite, people talking and all that, it'd be the awfulest bunch of noise right now going through here you ever thought about. It's being bombarded, saturated, tantalized. There's something that is stimulating and it's at the same time numbing. And what all of it does, it causes us the inability, if we're not careful, the inability to hear the voice of the Lord. Movies, music, things, watching, visuals, this, that, all of those things. Where can the Lord slip in enough to get you to understand? I want something of you here. You're in danger. Can you hear? Can you hear? Danger, danger. And people just going on. Never seeing that there's danger anywhere around. Never being able to get the communications. Because the devil has succeeded in cutting them. And now I don't get anything, no signals. Lord, help us tonight to get a vision, get the realization I need to be in contact with the Lord. I would advise for everybody to take a little time to listen. Slow down a little and listen. Slow down a little bit and be able to speak to God, but then slow down a little bit and listen. Lord, what do you have for me? What direction do you want my life to take at this point in time?
Lord, help us tonight. I want to be